Well, good morning and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. It's good to have you here this morning. I wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a delightful afternoon and enjoy time with your family. We're going to be talking about some important things here this morning, though, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. If you're visiting with us, we want to thank you for being here and for all of our members as well. And we encourage everyone to grab a Bible. And if you don't have one with you, there should be one right in front of you in the back of the pew that's sitting right in front of you. Grab a Bible, open to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Talk about some very important things from this passage of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. You ever find yourself in a bad place mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, maybe in a dark place? You ever find yourself down in a hole and you're feeling despair and you're feeling distraught and you don't know what to do? What do you do when you find yourself in a place like that? People try a wide variety of things in this world to pull themselves up out of the hole. People will seek counseling. And that's a good thing. It's good too. That can be a helpful first step, to seek counseling, get help with your problems. We all need help in this world when we're suffering with things. And sometimes people consult spiritualists. And we need spiritual guidance. Now, a lot of folks that people seek out for this particular aspect, avenue of help, they can be kind of on the extreme end of the scale. But we understand that we need spiritual guidance in this world. And some people turn to medications. They turn to doctors and they prescribe medications. And that's often necessary as well. Sometimes we just need medical assistance for the problems that we have. And all these things can help and all these things can be good. And I think they're steps in the right direction, but are they the complete answer? Are they going to do everything for us that we need to get us where we need to be in this life and keep us there? How are we going to get up out of the hole and stay that way? And how are we going to stay up out of that hole in such a way, in such a degree, that it's going to see us all the way to heaven? And really, Peter tells us the answer to that question here. This is a counseling session from a man of God, one inspired by the Holy Spirit, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he gives us a prescription here, God's medication. What it is we need to do, what it is we need to take to heal that hurt that's within us, to lift us up, to keep us safe all the way to heaven. Talk about four S's this morning to you that help us remember these steps that we need to take. Four S's to help us stay steady in this life and be saved when this life's over. Surrendering, sending, strengthening, and standing. Those are the four S's, and we'll go into those in more detail as we go along. And the first S we want to talk about this morning is contained in verses 5 and 6, where the apostle tells us to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. The first step, the first S, is to surrender your will to God. Surrender your will to God. The first step into bringing yourself up out of the pit, up out of the hole, is to bring yourself low. That's what that word humble means. To humble yourself means to bring yourself low. Now, does that make sense? That goes completely against the grain of all logic. If I want to bring myself up out of a hole and bring myself low, that's not a good first step to take, is it? Well, if you're looking at it from a purely worldly perspective, no, it's not. But there are lots of people in holes right now, right? At this very moment as I'm speaking, but they haven't bowed themselves down to God, under His mighty hand. They're in a hole. They brought themselves low, but not low before God. We have to lower ourselves in our own eyes and before God so that God can raise us up. And that's that first step. And getting up out of that hole, surrendering your will to God. The apostle tells us there, he says we need to clothe ourselves with humility. And that term is an interesting term. It literally means to wear the apron of a servant. And Jesus, our Savior and our Creator, is the one who showed us how to do this. He gave us an example of how to do that. In that upper room, that fateful night, the night when He was betrayed, and right before He was killed, when He was handed over to sinful men to be killed for your sins and for my sins. Read in John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, says Jesus got up from supper, what we call refer to as the Last Supper. And He laid His garments aside. And taking a towel, He girded Himself. And then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He had girded, with which He had girded Himself. The King of all the universe, the Creator and the Sustainer of all life, wrapped a towel around His waist. He girded Himself. He wrapped the apron of a servant around Him, and He taught us a lesson about humility. He got down on His hands and knees and He washed the dirty, smelly, nasty, stinky feet of 12 men. And of one man in particular who was about to betray, who was about to sell Him out for 30 useless pieces of silver. Oddly enough, the price of a slave. He did this to teach them and you and I lessons about life and about how He wants us to be and about how He wants us to think and behave. He taught us lessons on servitude, on self-sacrifice, but more than anything else, He taught us a lesson on humility, what it means to bring yourself low. Only by putting on the apron of a servant can God lift you up. Only by clothing yourself with humility will you be able to be in a position where God can do something with you. Don't come to God with your pride. Don't come to Him with your accomplishments, boasting about your abilities and your skills, because they tell you you're not going to impress God. Those things won't do you any good. He knows all about you. He made you. He knows your shortcomings. He knows what you're all about. Nothing you do is going to impress God. You come to Him on your knees, and He's going to lift you up. Only by His mighty hand can you be lifted up and exalted. You notice how that phrase is rendered. Surrender yourself to Him. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. You have no strength compared to God. You have no strength to pull yourself up. Only His power can do that. Psalm 145 and verse 14 says, "The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down." That's God's business to raise down the fallen and those who are bowed down. Have you ever fallen really hard and really deeply into that hole? Took a really hard fall, and you just didn't know what you were going to do, and you tried to pull your own self up out of that hole. It's hard to do, isn't it? We need help with that. And you know, even if you get help, quite often you find yourself right back down in that hole. But the problem is you're trying to do things your way. What you need to do is stop trying to do things your own way, because your ways aren't good enough. You're going to continue to find yourself right back down in that place where you don't want to be. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Your ways are not the right ways. Your ways are not going to lift you up. And if they do, they're not going to keep you up. Only God can do that. You have to come to Him humbly, with no will of your own, but only the will to do His will, and to do His things, and to do His things His ways. And more than that, you need to tell Him that. You need to vocalize that to Him. You need to tell Him that your way isn't good enough, and you know it, and you recognize it, and you're helpless, and you can't do anything about it, and you need Him to pick you up. You need to tell Him that. You need to ask Him to show you His will. And then you need to go in His Word and be determined to learn His will, and after you learn His will, you need to do it. You need to put it into action. You need to surrender your will to Him. And when you've done that, what you've really done is you've surrendered your life to Him. You've surrendered yourself to Him. And then you've got a good relationship with God, and He can do something with you. There are a lot of people in the world who talk about having a relationship with God. You hear about it all the time. And it's so important to have one. It's true, but I don't think most people understand the basis for a relationship between a person and God. That basis, that relationship, is the basis of servant to master relationship. Now, yes, if we are God's children, we can call Him Father. But unless you lower yourself, unless you humble yourself before Him, He will not raise you up to a station where you can be in a relationship with Him. And it starts, the basis for that relationship is you understanding that He is your master, and that you are His servant, and then He'll get you where you need to be. The second S, after surrender your will to God, is send your worry to God. Notice in verse 7 there, the apostle wrote that we are to cast all our cares upon God. That literally means throwing our anxieties on Him. Shed those things off, throw them up to Him. And then when you throw them on Him, let go of them. Don't grab them back. Don't play yo-yo with those worries. Don't throw them up there and then pull them back. The implication here is once and for all do that. Throw your burdens on Him and let them go. Be done with them. Don't try to bear your burdens alone, your anxieties. As a matter of fact, don't try to bear them at all. They're too heavy for you. You can't handle them. They're just going to break you down and break your back. God can handle all of your burdens. There's nothing that He can't handle. They're nothing to Him. He's got this mighty hand. You put all your worries in the palm of His hand, you can't even see it. It's not, doesn't even add up to a speck. It weighs 0 pounds and 0 ounces in the hand of God. But listen, He wants you to cast them on Him. Throw them on Him. He's not just going to reach down and pick them up off of you. You've got to throw them up there to Him. You need to tell Him that. Once again, you need to vocalize, listen, God, I can't carry these things. These worries, these anxieties, they're breaking my back. They're racking my nerves. I can't handle them anymore. You take them from me. And He will. He'll take them. And really, you think about it, that's part of coming to Him humbly, with humility. That's recognizing that you aren't strong enough and that He is. He's all-powerful. And that is humility at its finest. Now, people think all the time, we see it in our families and our friends, they run upon a hard spell in life and they might get knocked over by some event in life, a tragedy or an illness or financial hardship, and it just knocks them for a loop, and then they regather themselves and they sit down on the couch and they either talk to themselves or their family and say, okay, I can handle this. Okay, we can handle this. No. You can't handle this. That's pride talking. That's not your sense talking. That's not your spirit talking. You need help. And listen, you need not just any help. You need God's help. Now, it's good when people are willing to help you, when nice folks are willing to do nice things for you, try to help you out. But you need God, because listen, only He can handle all of your anxieties. How many of your cares, how many of your anxieties are you supposed to hold on to? None of them. He says cast all of your anxieties upon God. Listen, He wants them and only He can handle them. Only He can handle them all. Not the best friend you have, not your mother, your father. No one can handle all of your anxieties. But God can. And God will. And He wants you to turn loose of them. You have to be willing to turn loose of them. Don't cling to them like some sort of sick security blanket or some emotional crutch. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes we have a tendency to take self-pity and resentment and fear, and we hold on to those things for consolation or for some kind of crutch. We don't want to throw them away. We get comfortable with them. Don't do that. Get rid of those things so you can have a healthy life and a healthy relationship with God. Why would God do this for you? Why is God willing to do this for you? What are you to Him? Well, you're His kid. He loves you. He gave you life. He brought you into this world. And He cares about you. That's what it says. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Really, it for no other reason than that. It all boils down to that. God cares for you so very much. And He does so because you're His child. And He's made quite an investment in you, if you think about it, because He sent His Son, the perfect Savior of the world, to die for your sins, personally, for you. He would have done it if you were the only person in this world. And that means, folks, in case you haven't realized it, that He really, really loves you. And what you need to do now is tell Him, I'm giving all these things to you now. You've given your Son, you've given me life, you've given your Son for me, now I'm giving all my anxieties to you. And He's going to take them from you. Verses 8 and 9 reveals to us the third S. The first S was surrender your will to God. The second S is surrender. Send your worry to God. The third S is strengthen your walk with God. Listen now. Listen close. We got to come humbly to God. We got to surrender our will to Him. We got to cast our cares to Him. We got to send all our troubles to Him. But we have to walk strongly in Him after that. We have to walk in Him strongly. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We got to get serious about God and about His Bible and about sin and about the devil. Just because we're throwing ourselves on God's mercy and depending on Him wholly for all our well-being and take care of us doesn't mean all of a sudden now that we can be careless. We've got to be sober. We've got to be watchful, wary, alert. We've got to keep your mind. You've got to keep your mind clear and your eyes open and focused. And why is that? Well, there's a predator out there on the prowl. That's why. And he's vicious and he's opportunistic and he's ruthless and he's merciless. And you think about it, once you're humbly and safely in God's watch care, you really need to be on the alert then, because now He's really onto your sin. Once you're in God's hand, you've escaped the grasp of the devil, He wants you back. Now, a lot of people refer to Romans chapter 8 and it says, nothing can snatch us out of God's hand, that nothing can separate us from God's love. Well, I want you to notice that this warning here is to Christians. Peter warned Christians to be on the alert, to be watchful, to be sober, to be vigilant. Why would he warn us if there wasn't a danger there? There's a danger even when we're in the Lord's care. And the danger is that we might get careless. And if we get careless and we're not careful, then we're really in danger and we're suspect to falling victim to Satan. Talking about Satan in these verses, talking about the devil. Really, when you think about it, talking about a being that most people in the world do not believe in, that he even exists. Let me ask you, who do you think the source of all your worries and your anxieties and your problems are? The devil. He's a miserable wretch, and he wants you to be miserable just like he is. He wants you to stay anxious and worried and all tore up inside so you can't focus on the important things. You can't focus on God and His Word. And once you've escaped His grasp, He wants you back. And His pursuit is, it's persistent and it's vicious, and He's not going to give up on you. Do you believe in the devil? You better, because he's real. You know who else believed in the devil? Jesus believed in him, and he talked about Satan more than anyone else in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you turn to Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, you see Jesus and the devil side by side talking, having dialogue with one another. Listen now, if Jesus is real, then Satan is real. If Satan is not real, then Jesus is not real. Be careful about the conclusions we draw about Satan. He's real and he's dangerous, but Jesus withstood him and defeated him for you. He's powerful, but he's not as powerful as Jesus. But listen, he is real and he is deadly. When you think about the word Satan, what that means, it means adversary, it means opponent, it means enemy. And that word devil, it means slanderer, false accuser, really some nasty depictions of this being. You look all the way back in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, he's depicted as a subtle, crafty serpent slithering on the ground. And then you look all the way at the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, he's depicted as this great dragon. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's referred to as a roaring lion. Let me tell you something about lions. Lions are 20 times stronger than the average person. You know what that means for you personally? It means you're helpless against this fiend alone. You don't have a chance. He's too strong for you. He will defeat you. As the lion is the king of the beast or the king of the jungle, the devil is the king of this world. And you need to believe in him and you need to believe he exists. You need respect for him. You need to have a healthy respect for Satan. It's always wisest to have a healthy respect for your enemy, for your opponent, for your adversary, so he can't catch you unawares. He's cunning. He's a ferocious beast. A lion is ferocious. A lion has a voracious appetite. It can consume 30% of its own body weight at one sitting, eating one meal. And the devil is ferocious as well. He's voracious. He's never satisfied with a meal, with a conquest. He feeds on those who are fallen. He gets right back up and he goes right back on the prowl. And he's seeking someone to devour right now. And he wants to devour you. And he's going to get you if you're not alert and if you're not focused. And one of the most fearsome things about a lion is its roar. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away, and it produces fear in the hearts of its prey. And most of those animals, that fear will prompt them to flee. But some of them panic in their fear, and they're dead meat. Well, let me tell you, Satan thrives on fear as well. And you know why he does that? It's because fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes your faith. You listen to Satan's roar and you're not going to be able to hear God's word. You listen to what it is, those lies Satan's telling you, it's going to cause you to be gripped by fear. You listen to him when he tells you you're pitiful and you're worthless and you're helpless and you need to throw in the towel, you need to give up. There's nothing you can do to withstand this world and him and the bad things that he throws at you, and you're not going to listen to God's word when God tells you that you're an awesome creation, you were created in His own image, and that you can do all things through Christ, and in Christ you are more than conqueror. You need to listen to God and not Satan's roar. Because let me tell you, as strong as Satan is, he's a very powerful being. He's not invincible. As a matter of fact, he's far from it. How do you defeat Satan? How do you overcome him? Well, Peter tells us right here in this passage, he says, resist him. Resist him means to take a stand against him, to stand up against the devil. He says, resist him firm in your faith. You really need to sharpen your faith. You need to be strong in your faith. Jesus already defeated him for you, but for you, for me, the game's not over yet. We're still on this side of the grave. Jesus did his part, but now we have to do our part, and our part is faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is what we're going to use to defeat Satan. Faith is what we're going to use to stand up to him. We need to sharpen it. We need to strengthen it. We need to hone it. Satan can't stand up against real faith. He's going to fall away every time. He's going to run. If we resist him, he's going to flee, James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7. How to resist him? With our faith. You resist him strong in your faith, he can't stand up to you. Now he's going to come back, and he's going to try again. He's going to look for moments of weakness. So we always got to make sure we're trying to strengthen our faith, our walk with God, every day. Strengthen your walk with God. That's that third S. Satan thrives on fear and ignorance. And faith is just the opposite of both of those. Faith is conviction and firm assurance. It's not fear. And faith is based on knowledge and the Word of God and understanding, and that's not ignorance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 tells us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, his schemes. And I'm going to tell you, fear and ignorance are two of his devices that he used. Fear and ignorance, and we need have neither one of these tools to use in Satan's advantage. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And what he's telling us in there is Jesus, who resides in us, is much more powerful than Satan, who resides in the world. And if we keep strong in our faith, we strengthen our walk with God, we're going to be okay. Surrender your will to God. Send your worry to God. Strengthen your walk to God with God. And finally, stand on the grace of God. That's the fourth S that we need to use to be able to maintain steady balance in this life, stay out of that hole, stay firm in Christ. We need to stand on the grace of God. We'll read verse 10 again, just quickly. Verse 10 reads, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Top of all this, we need to know that God's grace is always going to be sufficient for us. That's exactly what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. When Paul said he had that thorn in the flesh and he asked God three times to take it from him, and God said no to that request, but he said, you know what, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, God doesn't promise to remove all your obstacles, or eliminate all your problems, all the thorns in your flesh, but He will always, always give you grace to deal with them. He might not change your circumstances. He might, but He might not. But look, He will always change you if you will let Him. And He'll change you for the better, and He'll better equip you to deal with your problems physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever the case may be. His grace is more than sufficient to see you through all your problems, all the way to heaven. And then when that day of suffering is past, and those days of glory are on the horizon, He'll call you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, like it says in verse 10. He's going to perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. He's going to do that now while you're on this earth, if you're employing these four S's. But He's really going to do it perfectly for eternity. All these words are architectural terms. He's going to perfect you. He's going to get you all squared up and sitting right, like a building is supposed to be. And He's going to establish you solidly and secure, make you immovable. And He's going to strengthen you to cope with any problems, to withstand any storm, like a house that's firmly built on these firm foundations. That's what it means by settle you. He's going to set you on His firm foundation, a house firmly fixed that can't be moved, like we read about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, where Jesus talked about that wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended and the winds slashed against it, and it stood because it was built on the rock. Build your life on the Lord. Hear His words. Act on them. That's what He said. That's the wise man, is the one who hears His words and acts on them. Build your faith on Him. Stand firm in your faith. Be a wise person. And He's going to perfect you, and He's going to establish you, and He's going to strengthen you, and He's going to settle you forever with Him when He comes to take you back to that mansion that He built for you in heaven, that perfect mansion with its perfect dimensions and design just waiting for you in heaven. Well, I hope the lesson was useful to you this morning. I'll go over those four S's just one more time so you can get them in your mind, and then we'll be done with the lesson. Surrender your will to God. Send your worry to God. Strengthen your walk with God. And then, stand on the grace of God. And there may be some here this morning who have not surrendered their will to God. They have not been baptized into Christ, have their sins forgiven, so that they can even have a chance to send their worry to God and strengthen your walk in God. You may not even be walking in God this morning. We want to make that available to you this very moment, to make that opportunity available to you to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to clothe yourself with Him. Be baptized into His church for the remission of sins, into His body, so that you can be saved and heaven bound. And if we can do that for you, if we can assist you with that this morning, we encourage you to stand or to come as we're standing and singing to your encouragement.